In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Milk, it does a body good, or so the slogan goes. It makes for bright eyes, strong bones, and a healthy grin. Most people don't drink enough of it, and so corporate America has begun to supplement foods with extra calcium. Today, even some breakfast cereals have added calcium. So those of you inclined to be skimpy with the amount of milk you pour on your breakfast cereal can still have a good dose of calcium. It seems that Americans are bent on preserving their physical health. Not bad in and of itself. But they often neglect their spiritual health. Sure, milk is good for us, but St. Peter has another kind of milk in mind, a milk which enlivens and sustains not only our bodies, but our souls. This milk is pure, literally without guile, without falsehood. This milk is the source of truth and the basis of our faith. This milk is the Word of God. In particular, this milk is the gospel, the good news of Jesus' atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since the very moment of your baptism, you have indeed tasted that the Lord is gracious. You have tasted the undeserved kindness of Almighty God. And through the ministry of the church, you have been fed with this spiritual milk. Now, in our text, Peter charges us to desire this milk. But the word desire falls a bit short of the meaning in the Greek. It means we should long for the word. We should crave this pure milk. We should consider it as the highest good. And concerning our text, Luther once wrote, "It is not enough to hear the gospel once. We must ever make use of it that we may grow." Indeed, it is the Lord who makes his church grow. And each one of us has tasted this gracious kindness of our God. For in spite of our sins, he deigns to call us his friends. He comes among us in his word, in his sacraments. We hear his voice in the words of the gospel. We receive his forgiveness in the absolution of the pastor. We taste his pure grace in the body and blood of the Lord's Supper. This pure milk gives blessing. It gives eternal life. Now, St. Peter calls Christians of all places and times to seek their salvation where God has promised to be for them, in his word and sacraments. Since we are all still burdened by sin, by doubt, by weakness, we are always in need of God's grace. We can never live apart from it. These means can be recognized only by faith. For God's grace is given to us through the means of simple elements: a printed page of scripture, the preached word, the spoken absolution, baptismal water, bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. He gives, and we receive. And he continues to give, even though we often neglect to offer thanksgiving and praise for his kindness. He is faithful, even when we are not. And all the while, the unbelieving world looks on and has no use for such common and seemingly useless things as pastors and water and bread and wine and old books. No, the world clamors for fun and excitement. And this worldly unbelief then demands entertainment or supposed relevance from the church. And all too often, the church bows to the pressure of the world, giving the people what they've demanded instead of what they truly needed. And the result can be a church centered on man instead of on Christ. For the world is always shouting at the church, "Don't tell us about Jesus' blood and perfect righteousness. Tell us how to be successful in this world. And don't tell us that we're sinners. Make us feel good about ourselves. Tell us what good people we are and how we can be even better. And certainly never tell us that we need to repent." How quickly human pride rears its ugly, sinful head under a thin veneer of anemic and individualized Christianity. False Christianity, promoted by false teachers, serves a false god. False gods have not become extinct in the modern world. They only get new names from time to time. They can be found today in every shape, size, and sex. What a shame, what a tragedy it is that millions of people have rejected the pure milk of the Word and have chosen to drink devilish poisons. But you, O Christians, you have been rescued from the way of the world, that way of death, for you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And how blessed you are to be here in God's house. How blessed you are to have before you hymnals which contain the three ancient creeds. And how blessed you are to belong to a church which still believes those creeds. How blessed you are to use liturgies which teach the faith, which praise our God and strengthen us. How blessed you are, for you have been called into communion with the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no higher blessing than this. And what have you done to deserve such kindness, such blessing and mercy from the Lord? You've done nothing. I've done nothing. For God chose to give it to us freely as a gift. That is the nature of His grace. It is an unearned gift. Now, in view of all these mercies we have received and continue to receive, surely we should flee from every sin. And yet we don't. We still wrestle with sin daily, and we don't always win the match. We who have received the mercies of God continue to grieve the Lord by our sins, and yes, we have fallen short of the glory of God. And worse yet, we continue to sin even when our Christian conscience accuses us. Do we think that God doesn't know of our sins? Do we think that He looks the other way? Or perhaps we're tempted to think that our sins are rather small compared to others. And then those words of the Lord come back to us. "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." It seems there is an ever-present danger that people who know the gospel will begin to take forgiveness for granted. When conscience becomes dull, their sin no longer grieves them. We must never take forgiveness of God so lightly. It is no small matter to transgress the law of Almighty God, for sin is deadly serious. As the writer to the Hebrews warns, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it is a fearful thing, because the Lord has said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." God's law places demands on us and drives us to cling to the pure milk of the gospel. Just as an infant craves its mother's milk, is satisfied and nourished by it, so we too must return again and again to the word and the sacraments which God has given to His church. Now consider how a hungry infant cries out for that milk and until it is satisfied. It can think of nothing else. But how many of us can say that we long for the Word and the sacraments with such true intensity? We don't desire it as we should, for we are still burdened with the desires of our flesh, always warring against us. The old, unregenerate man or woman in each of us cannot be improved. He or she can only be put to death, drowned again and again in a daily return to the promise of our baptism. And we see how totally dependent we are on the mercy of God. Like newborn babes, we need the pure milk of the Word day after day, for there are only two ways, the way of eternal life, the way of eternal death. The pure milk of the Word and the sacrament are the gifts of Christ. They are the way of life. May His pure milk sustain and preserve us unto life everlasting. Amen.